want to go straight to our study for this evening. And for this evening, I want to center it on the Philistine champion. We've talked so much about David, but remember when we started, we had to intertwine David with Saul and Samuel. But now we are trying to look at David separately. We are trying to see how he sees or how he saw things in those days. Remember, we are doing like the biography. We are looking at the singles, the different steps he took, different things he did that made him who he was, so that we can glean from it. So, if I were you, I'll take my Bible and turn it to 1 Samuel. Just stay between 16 and 17. Just stay between chapters 16 and 17. I don't think we will pass there today. 16 and 17. So, just to remind you that David was anointed to be king in secret. Nobody knew he was the king yet, except his family and Samuel. And you know they were hiding it. If the present king then, that Saul, heard that news, he would have killed them all. He was anointed in secret. And if you doubt me, let somebody read for us. 1 Samuel 16:2. 1 Samuel 16:2. Oh my God. Even when I had asked you to find 1 Samuel 16 and 17 and stay around there.
Samuel.
Can somebody read that for us? 1 Samuel 16:2.
I was reading, but I was muted.
Samuel said, "How can I go if Samuel heard it? He will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice. I am come to sacrifice to the Lord."
Read it again. You didn't read it right. Start over.
And Samuel said, "How can I go if Saul heard
me?" Now stop. You got it now. Before you read, if Samuel saw me, that's you're thinking of Saul. Okay. So what was I trying to bring out to you? That this thing was done in hiding. That this thing was done in secret. Nobody knew that David was king. The second thing I want you to understand tonight is that David had actually been playing the harp in Saul's court. But somehow, Saul didn't know who he was. Then the Philistines came down to fight. Saul had to go off to battle, and David had to go home again. And I want you to notice that this David that has been anointed king, that when he went home, that he went back to keeping his father's sheep. A proud person wouldn't have been able to do this. David had been anointed a rightful king, yet he was tending his father's sheep, just as he had done before all this happened. Isn't that another characteristic of humility? David was humble. And again, I see that David was patient. There are some of us that if God promises us something and it hasn't come that day, we'll start tearing up our clothes. Do you know that impatience is a sign of our arrogance and self-reliance? I say it again. Impatience is a sure sign of our own arrogance and self-reliance. So we are looking at this young man that had been anointed the king of Israel. But yet, he took his father's few sheep and was tending them. Instead of reading the whole story, I'll just tell you the story. So when there was battle, when this battle started, Jesse sent his first three children. Not that he wanted to, but because they were in the army, they had to go to war. So Eliab, Shammah, and Abinadab went to battle. As they went to this battle, they were fighting with only one man, a champion of the Philistines, a giant named Goliath. He came out and he challenged the armies of Israel. You know, there has been so many people in Bible commentaries who will tell you how tall he was. Some think he was 9 feet, 9 inches. Some others said he was like 13 feet. Let somebody read 1 Samuel 17:4.
First Samuel 17:4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span.
Yeah. Is this 6 cubits and a span they've been trying to interpret? But I'd rather go with the 9 feet, 9 inches tall. But that wasn't the only thing frightening. The ammunition, what he had on, could have also sent you running. Go ahead and read the verse 5. 1 Samuel 17:5.
And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass.
I think of that. Some scholars estimate that coat he wore to have weighed like 125 pounds. So the giant's armor, not even counting the giant himself, not counting Goliath himself, I believe weighed more than David. I want to believe just what he had on weighed more than David. But I want you to see something tonight. I don't want to go into all these measurements, because they are telling us that the spearhead alone weighed 15 pounds. The actual shaft of the spear had a rounded off end that was like 4x4 post. Everything he had must have been very, very heavy. And the spear itself alone was like 30 pounds. So when I'm trying to describe Goliath, I'm not thinking of a tall, skinny man. We are thinking of a well-proportioned, muscular giant of a man. That looking at him, I don't think any of us will even think of going to confront him. Then let's come to the actual story. What did he do? Let's read 1 Samuel 17:8-11. Go ahead. 1 Samuel 17:8-11.
Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Praise God. Praise God. So I want us to see this evening. Goliath will come up. And the Israelites will actually hide themselves in rocks, in dens, in caves. Among the entire nation of Israel, there was not a single person who was willing to go against these giants. Remember in those days there were no newspapers, no radio, no television, no internet. So if you wanted to know the news of the war, you have to send somebody there physically. Remember, Jesse had three sons in the battlefield. And what did he do? He called back his youngest son, David, and sent him to take food to his brothers. The scripture says, when you read 17 and 18, which you may not read, that he gave him some bread, gave him cheese, and asked him, go, take this to your brothers, and take some to the captain over the army. Then find out how they are doing, and bring me back word. That was the only way he will know how his three sons were doing. So David knew what he came for. He just came to deliver food to his brothers who were in the army. I want to believe that they had uniform. David didn't have any because he was not a soldier. But the day he came there was the 40th day. And on this 40th day, that Philistine came up. He calls the Israelites. He called them cowards. David saw this thing. David heard these things. And can I tell you what David did? David turned around and asked, what will be done to the man who kills this giant and takes away our reproach? Instead of running away like other people, instead of being afraid like every other person, David was saying, this guy needs to be stopped. Mm-hmm. For him to ask, what will the king give to the person who will kill him? Will show you that he was determined to kill Goliath. From every description I've given this evening, you will agree with me. I don't know how you look at this fight, how equal it is. Remember, David was still a youth. Remember that when he was anointed king, he was like 17 years old. So probably at this time he'll be 18 or 19. He wasn't an old man. Remember that all the people in the field, they were seasoned men of war. They were bigger than him. They were stronger than him. They were more experienced than him. And they were all standing around full of fear. They were all shaking in their boots. But David challenged them by saying, what right does this man have to say this kind of things to us? Today I want you to look at what made David able to fight the giant, kill him, and bring this great deliverance. David wasn't big. He wasn't stronger than anybody. I didn't read that he was trained in any military school. So I want to believe it was nothing in the natural at all. What was different about David was in his heart. The attitude of his heart. His heart was sensitive to God. And because of that, he was fearless. He didn't see the things the way other people saw it. They were looking on the outward appearance, but David knew that God looked at the heart. And that was exactly why he was chosen to be king of Israel. So David was not looking at himself. Neither was David looking at the giant. David was seeing the giant the way God saw the giant. Number one, David saw that the giant's heart was not right with God. So that means that the fight was already unfair. Goliath didn't stand a chance. Because David at this time was not considering outward appearance. If you are considering outward appearance, David didn't stand a chance. It's an unfair fight. But when you look from the inside, it was absolutely lopsided. David was the one who had the right heart. David was the one who was anointed. David was the one who was in a covenant relationship with God. Goliath had nothing. So as far as David was concerned, Goliath was powerless. That is the right way to look at things. So what I'm sharing with you this evening will be different from how people will look at it. Why the Israelites were running and hiding was because they were looking on the outside. But David was looking on the inside. Let me tell you, even if I stop here tonight, I've said so much that can change your life. Why are you afraid of the things you are seeing? It's because you are looking at them from the outside. If from today you begin to see things the way David saw, if today you begin to see the inside, not the outside, when David addressed Goliath, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. And if I should take you back to the scriptures to talk about the significance of circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of covenant. When God said to Abraham, go and circumcise all the male in your house as a sign of my covenant with you. If David could say to Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine, what was he talking about? He was just saying, you don't have a covenant with God. You don't have a relationship with God. You are nothing. You are nothing. So can I tell you that why David defeated Goliath was that he could see it through the covenant. He saw it through the covenant. He was able to see through to know that God is a covenant keeper. And because he was in covenant with God, God is going to overthrow that man. Let's continue reading. 1 Samuel 17, please read 26.
And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Is that the right thing?
Yeah, continue.
And take it away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Hallelujah! David saw through the co- covenant. His question was, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this one that is defying the name of the God of Israel? So what David was doing was just an attitude that was opposite to the rest of the Israelites. What he was saying was, Goliath is nothing. Goliath is a nobody. This is an easy fight. Everybody was saying, he's so big, he's so powerful. And they look at themselves, we are nothing, we are nobody. So I want to ask you today, can you begin to look at things through the covenant? That instead of you to waste your energy praising the devil, embellishing him, polishing your mountain, telling us how high it is and how big it is, that you can just begin to see that God is bigger than everything that is coming against you. So for David to call Goliath uncircumcised Philistine, what was he saying? He was saying, this man does not have a covenant with God. Circumcision was a sign of covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. David was saying, we are superior. Why are we letting somebody who doesn't even have God on his side intimidate us? So I want to believe that David's attitude came from the covenant, came from the word, came from the promises of God. Can I ask you, do you have the same attitude as David? Do you want to stand apart from every other person who is afraid? When everybody at your job is griping, complaining, talking about everything, what do you say? Do you go out and make your life count? If you want to do exploits like David, you are going to have a different attitude. You are going to have to look at God's word. When you want to evaluate your enemy, when you want to evaluate your circumstances, when you want to look at your problems, you look at them based on the word of God. Did you see that David's confidence came from the fact that he had a covenant with God? He was dominated by what God says and not by the physical presence of this giant. Even the army of Israel could not discourage him. The only thing that moved him was the word of God, not other people. So my question to everybody on the line this morning or this evening is, what is your Goliath? What is your giant? Why not be like David today? That instead of running away because of what you see with your physical eyes, that you will begin to see with your spiritual eyes. Why not from today begin to see things the way God sees it? That's what made David different. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the toughest. David just saw things differently from other people. He looked at Goliath and declared, that man is powerless. He doesn't have my covenant. Nobody else of the Israelites had thought of the covenant or the promises of God. They were just evaluating the situation based on Goliath's height, the size of his weapon, the weight of his armor. They were looking at the physical realm, but David was looking at the heart. No wonder he looked at Goliath and declared, this man is bankrupt. He has nothing. So tonight, it doesn't matter how big your problems are. If you can begin to evaluate things the way that David did, you recognize that you are the one with the promises of God. Why do we even wake up every morning to read the Bible if we cannot believe what we are reading? Really? You're afraid of your boss. You're afraid of that person from your village. And yet you are seeing that person doesn't even belong to the covenant. So from today, we want you to begin to see. To see things the way David saw it. And can I remind you that the size of your enemy determines the size of your reward. If the enemy were small, then your reward will be small. If what you are going through is so big, it's just to give you a bigger testimony. If David had killed a dwarf, people would have criticized him. People would have just said, this is unfair. The headline would have just read, David kills dwarf and sent to prison for life. But because he killed the giant, people started singing songs with his name. So David saw this opportunity through the covenant. We've already read it. 1 Samuel 17:26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? There are a few other things I want to bring out from here tonight. Number one was that David spoke forth. He didn't keep his mouth shut. From what he was saying, I have the Lord's promises. Goliath doesn't. He's separated from God. So my thing to you is, it's a good thing to think about the victory you are going to have. It's a good thing to think about how you are going to defeat. But will you be bold enough to open your mouth and start saying something? A closed mouth is a closed destiny. That thing you are believing God to do for you, can you open your mouth and begin to announce it? Can you be bold enough to tell people around you that God is about to open the floodgates of heaven and drench you with blessings? If David did not open his mouth, nobody would have even known that he was there. And you know that if you don't say you are there, nobody will say you are there. Can I tell you how this whole thing went down? That when David kept going from corner to corner, asking everybody, what will be given to the person who kills this man? Do you know that before you knew it, the news went to Saul? Let's read that 1 Samuel 17, verse 31.
And when the word was heard which David spake, they rehearsed them.
Okay. And when the words were heard, quick David spake. They rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. I don't know if you heard that. David kept talking about what he was about to do. And some people said it to Saul, and Saul said, go bring the man, let me see him. David had to start speaking forth his faith. If he had just stood there and he didn't speak his vision, it wouldn't have come to pass. It wasn't enough just to boldly stand there while everyone else was running away or hiding behind rocks and caves and such. He had to start speaking his faith. After he spoke those words of faith, then the Lord promoted him. God took those words, passed it through the army, all the way up to the king. You have to speak forth what the Lord has put in your heart. You cannot be timid. How many of you know that words are powerful? God will use your words to open your doors and stop the devil in his track. We are learning about David. And I'm telling you tonight that God is willing to use your words, your spoken words, to open doors for you. I think I should stop talking and get some people to give us some examples of what we are talking about today. By way of summary, I'm not trying to minimize the size of Goliath. I'm only telling you, not for once did David describe Goliath. People were looking at Goliath and running away. But David was looking at the covenant that God made to him. And I told you tonight that the size of your problem determines the size of your reward. Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Why would they sing such a song if David did not kill a giant? I'm telling you the things going on in your life, the opportunities. I want you to begin to see it. What an opportunity to defeat the enemy. I want you from tonight to tell yourself that by the grace of God, you are going to stand up for God. You are going to speak up for God. And you are going to do exploits for God. That when people are running away, when people are being intimidated, that you remember your 2 Timothy 1:7. Am I right? That he did not give us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. Praise God. I want somebody on this line to share with us. If there's any experience you've had in life where you spoke up, and because you were able to open your mouth, it led to your victory. I want something practical. Because you did not close your mouth, because you spoke up, because you spoke, it led to your victory. Does anybody have any example? Because I believe words are powerful. Anybody?
Back of your football, huh?
Ah, yeah.
This is Joy. The only thing I could think about right now was the unit that I'm finally in now. Before I came to that unit, I was in a different unit, and my grade level at that time was like 3 grade levels below where I am today. When I was sent to this present unit, I was sent there on rotation just to go there for 3 months. When I finished the 3 months, I wanted to go back, and the manager there wanted me to stay. But my boss wanted me to come back. So I went to my boss, and I went to the boss who wanted me to stay. I said, listen, my boss wants me back. If you want me to stay, then you have to bring me to the next level where everyone else who is working for you, I need to get an immediate promotion, even though it's not time for promotion for anybody. Mm-hmm. She said she agreed that she would do that. So when I went back and told my boss, well, I have to stay over there. And she said, no, I want you back here. I said, well, are you willing to give me a promotion? They're giving me to the next grade at the other level. If not, I will go over there. She said, unfortunately, her hands were tied, and the other manager quickly grabbed me and gave me the promotion. That's how I was able to get to the level where I was able to apply for the next opportunity when it came out. Because if you are not at the grade one grade level, you are not allowed to skip two grade levels and go up. If I didn't say anything, they would have just kept me or sent me back to my former division on the same level.
Praise God. I think this is a great example. If you didn't speak, nothing would have happened. And I'm telling you tonight, it's time for us to learn how to open our mouth and begin to speak faith. Praise God. I just want to quickly go through my outline tonight, and I want some people to add something to each one as I say them that will help us buttress or bring out what I have taught today. I said that David had an entirely different attitude. Can somebody throw more light on that? David had a different attitude. What was I referring to?
As you said that, Pastor, what I was thinking about David was that as David was a shepherd, although people thought he was spending time with just sheep, he was also spending time with the Lord. So that bolstered his confidence when he had to go before Goliath. He already was confident. He saw what God did for him when he defeated the bear, when he defeated the lions. So he was very confident in what God can do for him. That's what I got.
Amen. We'll still come to that. We will still talk about his testimony. We'll still talk about his experience. My question is, I'm saying that David had an entirely different attitude. I want somebody to show us what type of attitude did he have.
David looked at Goliath, asked people, who does he think he is to defy the armies of the living God? Because as far as he's concerned, Israel belongs to God, and nobody comes to poke their hand into God's eye. Because when they are talking to the people of Israel, they are literally, indirectly insulting God, and David was not going to stand for that. And David,
thank you.
Through the eyes of covenant, you can have all the armor you want, you're coming against me, but you're just an uncircumcised Philistine. You have no covenant. We have a covenant, and we know what we got. You don't have anything.
Hallelujah. So we are seeing that while everybody was seeing the outside, David was seeing the inside. David was seeing how empty he was because he didn't have God. Thank you. So I want you to understand tonight that the way you look at things matter. When a problem is coming, how do you look at it? David was not intimidated because he knew the God of covenant. If anybody is promising you that you are a Christian, so you never have trials, there will be no problems. But it's not telling you the truth. Don't allow anything that is happening around you to intimidate you because you are a child of covenant. David saw an opportunity through the covenant. He saw an opportunity. And if only you could begin to see anything that is coming your way, that is not a setup, that you can use it to do exploits. You can use it to show the world what your God can do. We've also talked about that David did not close his mouth. He started saying what he was about to see, and it happened for him. Don't allow anything to intimidate you. Don't be afraid of anybody. Remember, you are a child of the covenant. Allow the covenant of God that you stepped into to begin to guide you. And you will see where God will take you to. Another area our sister wanted us to jump the gun. She had gone ahead to tell you about some of the things that David said. But we are going to talk about them later. That had to do with, I don't know how to put this. When you see wrestlers or boxers, you know, they call it trash talk. They try to say things to weaken the other person. But we are going to look at David's own, and you are going to realize that it had nothing to do. He wasn't talking about Goliath. All his faith was based in his God. But before we get there, can we just take one more point tonight? I want to talk about criticisms. David knew how to take it. There are some of you, if you do something and somebody criticizes you, that's the end. You are not doing it again. You will stop. But not David. Since we already have 1 Samuel 17, can somebody read verse 28?
Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David.
Continue.
And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle."
Thank you. Now, from everything we've seen so far, David was standing up to the enemy. David was operating in faith. David was not doing anything wrong. David was doing things right. I'll tell you that people should have even admired him and praised him. But what did his older brother do? Immediately he heard what he was saying, he railed on him. Eliab turned on David, began to question him why he came. "You are responsible. You've left those few sheep alone in the wilderness." But the truth was that he didn't leave the sheep alone. He must have left them with a keeper. He continued telling David, "You came here out of your own pride." But remember, David was sent by his father. So everything David had done so far was right. But did you see how much his brother tried to belittle him? And even when he was talking about the sheep, he called the few sheep. "Who did you leave the few sheep alone with to come here? I know how arrogant you are. So you think you are better than all these Israelites who will be here for 40 days? You got here now and you are asking these stupid questions." David, David, David. Some of you, if you get such criticisms, that will be the end. No more. You'll even take your sling and start going back home. But not David. There are people around you who should hold up your hands. There are people around you who should be clapping for you. There are people around you who should be encouraging you. But instead of doing that, they are discouraging you. They are telling you everything negative. Just remember that this was one of the qualities of David, that they couldn't pull him down. 1 Samuel 17:28 was enough to make David quit. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Are you easily discouraged? Then you don't have the spirit of David. Do people easily talk you out of the will of God? Then you don't have the spirit of David. I pray that God will help us. That God will help us not to listen to every criticism. There are certain things people will be saying. Just tell them that is their opinion. It has nothing to do with what God has called you to do. And it has nothing to do with what you are doing. You cannot listen to everything. You cannot listen to everybody. They will pull you down. Praise God. We just have a few more minutes. And I want to open up the line. Is there anybody who wants to add something to today's lesson? And something beautiful you want to share with us. We are here. Go ahead.
I'll share. It's just been bubbling on my heart. I've been thinking about this. You know, it seems Jesse sent David to go take food to his brothers. But the more I think about it, the more I realize that Jesse may have thought he sent him, but he didn't send him. God sent him.
Exactly.
If David did not go down to that battlefield, he would never have killed Goliath. And those who did not know him would not have known him, and all the women came out singing. He was running an errand, something that was very mundane. But God took that to showcase him. That is just challenging me not to overlook the little mundane things in life, because I have no idea what God has in plan.
Wonderful. That's beautiful. Listen, God's way for us is not mediocrity. But when you start small, you don't know what God is going to do with it. You can't be a giant killer if you cannot do small things. You start from running small errands, and you end up a giant killer. Thank you, my sister. Another person?
I have a question, Pastor Oti.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, you said if you don't speak your vision, it will never come to fruition. Can you...
If you don't do what?
If you don't speak your vision...
Yes,
because
yes.
You said David spoke.
Yes.
That's why. But can you explain to us, because it seemed like when Joseph spoke concerning the vision he had with the sun and the moon bowing before him, that the brothers got so angry to the point where they sold him and they tried to kill him.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a different kettle of fish. Listen, there are visions you abort if you say them prematurely. If there's anything we've learned from the book of Proverbs, we are talking about wisdom. 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 May the Lord give you a discerning spirit to know when to speak and to know when to shut your mouth up. Joseph was just a child. Joseph didn't realize it wasn't time for him to share his vision. Joseph didn't have enough wisdom to know the people he was sharing with. Remember when they saw him coming? Somebody said, "There goes the dreamer." Another one said, "Let's kill him and see what will become of his dreams." It took only the grace of God to save his dream. Because if you remember what I told you this morning, you cannot kill that which cannot die. We cannot this evening agree that Joseph shared his dream at the right time. Let me give you an example. You know that God is about to promote you. You know that you know that you know that you know that you are going to become the CEO of your company. But it hasn't come to time. There are still three or four levels above you. Then you come to work and start telling them, bet me I'll be the CEO soon. It's either you are looking for trouble. I don't know if somebody is following my story.
Yes.
Something I've asked you to go ahead and declare. You declare when it's timely. You declare it, and God will give you the wisdom to know when to speak out. When God will take the glory. I don't know if I try to answer your question. Who asked the question? Did I answer your question?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You said Joseph was a child. David himself
That's
was
right.
young. But they were
mm-hmm.
both young and, you know, not mature yet.
I didn't know when to share and where to share.
Yes. So I'm still...
Okay.
Which one, you know, at the right age, how do you know it's the right time? And even
that's what you've been reading. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of him. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. God will give you the wisdom. Because, somebody just reminded me of a very important thing. Somebody just said that even David, who was asking, he didn't announce to them that he was anointed king. He didn't. Remember, we started by saying that David was anointed king in secret. He was just looking at the covenant and making his pronouncement, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He did not tell them, oh, do you know I'm now the anointed king of Israel? One of these days they're going to appoint me. No. He kept it quiet. When I'm asking you to share, I want you to ask God to give you wisdom, to know when to open your mouth, to know when to say it, and you say it, and God will take the glory. Praise God. Why did Esther save her life and save the life of her people?
Yes.
Do you remember when she was going for the contest, Mordecai said one thing to her. Don't you tell anybody you are an Israelite. Never you tell anybody that you are a Jew. Do you know the king did not know that he married a Jew? Christian paradox. Okay. Any other contribution, any other thing anybody wants to say? Our time is gone. Did anybody learn anything tonight? Say something. Okay, so let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for how you've taught us tonight through the life of David. Father, there's so much we saw in this young man. That though he was anointed king in secret, he was able to keep his mouth shut. He didn't talk about it. Father, tonight we saw his humility. That though he knew he was the king of Israel, he was still tending the sheep of his father. Father, we saw obedience, that he was willing to go on errand for the dad. Father, we saw faith, that while others were running away, through faith, he could see the power of God in action. Lord, we thank you tonight that he was able to talk to people. And because he opened his mouth, Saul heard it, and Saul sent for him. Father, we saw tonight that David overcame criticisms. And Lord, we know, for any of us to become a giant killer, we must recognize that people will criticize us along the way. And the way David handled his critics is exactly the way we are going to handle ours. Father, we thank you for all that you've taught us tonight. And above all, King of Glory, we want to begin to thank you that you are the children of covenant. We are not going to see things the way the world is seeing it. We need to see every giant as an opportunity to do exploits for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done tonight. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And let all the people say,
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.